What's line today? Another great Sunday morning. Man. How many of you enjoy having the best music in the North County every Sunday morning? I love our worship team. They have such a heart for God. They're so passionate about worship, and every week they just give us an experience of worship like nothing else. And I love Tim and the entire team. When you see him after service, let them know how much you appreciate them, how grateful you are for their faithfulness and service. They're up here long hours on Saturdays working and rehearsing and getting ready, and we are so blessed to have them. They are such an incredible group of people. Well, it is exciting to be here this Sunday morning. This is our Founders Day, where we're going to be honoring our founders. You don't want to miss the end of this service. I don't think there's going to be a dry eye in the building. It is going to be one of the most special times of honoring a man and woman that had literally given their life to build the foundation that we're building on today. And we are excited to have them with us. We're excited to bless them, excited to honor them. How many love being a part of a church that believes in honor? That we're going to honor our past, because the key to God's blessing on our future is for us to honor the past. And we're not going to forget our past. We're going to honor our past and honor the men and women who gave their life to give us what we have today. And we love Founders Day today. Well, we've got a lot of announcements coming up. The Wisdom Group will restart this week. I am so sorry I missed you last Thursday. I was at a conference in Palm Springs, but this Thursday, I'd love to meet you. If you are available Thursday mornings from 10:30 to 12, right in the cafe, we call it the Wisdom Group. Why do I call it the Wisdom Group? Well, because most of the people that come are retired or they're seniors, and they have the wisdom in the church. As a young leader, I need the wisdom to lead this church. And the way to get it is to hang out with old people older than myself, because I caught myself. Older than myself, not old. We don't have old people in this church. We have a lot of people that are young in heart in this church. But I just want to get to know you. I want to know your stories. I want to know where you're from. I want to get to know you a little bit. So every Thursday, 10:30 to 12, we have coffee and we have desserts. And it's my time where I can just hang out with anyone that is retired or has the time off on Thursday morning, or the wisdom generation in our church. So join me on Thursdays. There's no agenda. It's literally just a time to hang out, get to know you, and glean from some of the wisdom and the life experience that God has given you. Christmas time is coming up, and we have a lot going on for Christmas. Don't forget, our Christmas tree lot begins December 2nd. It is one of the most incredible outreaches we do all year long. For everyone in this community that buys a Christmas tree, it enables us to donate a tree to a family in need or to a military family. So if you're planning on buying a Christmas tree this year, buy it here at Coastline. If you have time to serve and volunteer, we need your help. We still have some spots available for you to volunteer and be a part of the Christmas Tree Outreach. So sign up at the back table as we bless this community for this Christmas. The youth and I are going to be going over to the forum and doing outreaches, inviting people to come over and buy Christmas trees and check out the church. And so we need some friendly faces working at the Christmas tree lot, because when people come by a tree, we want them to feel the love of God. We want them to come for a tree and walk away with a new perspective on God that they've never known before, because they see the love of God in his people. So sign up, be a part of it. This was the last Sunday for Operation Christmas Child, and you guys exceeded all of our expectations with these boxes. These shoe boxes are literally going around. Wow, this one's a heavy one. Some boy's going to be really happy with this thing. whatever it is. But these boxes go around the world to help children in need that wouldn't have any other Christmas present this Christmas. And you are able to bless them. Ed and his beautiful family have been working on this tirelessly for weeks. And they still got a number of weeks left as they load these boxes and ship them all over the world. Was it 9 million that go worldwide now? 9 million boxes go worldwide from the generosity of believers. And we just want to bless these boxes. So church, stretch out your hand with me as we bless the boxes. Every child that receives them not just receives a Christmas present, but this may be the key to a salvation experience with God for these children. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would bless these boxes. You would send them out with so much love, God, that as every child opens this, they will feel your love, God, because at the end of the day, you used us, but these presents are from you, God. We were simply your hands. We were simply the vessel to put these together for children around the world, God. But you're the one that motivated us. You're the one that gave the greatest gift of all, your son, so that we could be generous and give to others. So bless these boxes. Bless every child that receives one. Let them truly, if they're not saved, find you through this gift. And if they are saved, let them feel a deeper sense of your love and presence that they've ever felt before. Give them a warmth this Christmas through this present. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the last Christmas announcement is we have our Christmas Ladies Event, or our Ladies Night Out Christmas Event, our annual December 7th, and we have an overwhelming turnout of people that want to be there. So if you would like to sign up for the Ladies Christmas Event, we want you to sign up on the patio afterwards. We're asking everyone. I told you last week that the church this year decided to buy all of your tickets. So there's no tickets to be sold this year because the church bought the tickets because we want to invest in the women of our church. We want the women of this church to know they are special, to know we love them, and we have purchased all the tickets as a church to bless the women. Because I believe as a pastor, one of our greatest callings is to raise up godly women in this generation. There is so much negative out there in the world. There is so much attacking our women right now in the world that we want to be a church that raises up godly women, that invests in our women, that loves our women. I barely mentioned the last couple weeks that we were going to do table sponsorships for the women's event. And before I even had a chance to promote it, everyone sponsored a table. All tables are gone. Everyone sponsored a table so quickly because of the generosity of this place. You guys just amaze me every single week. So sign up if you would like to come. All we ask you to do to receive a ticket to the Ladies Christmas event is sign in blood that if you are taking a ticket, you will be there. We only have 120 spots. We need to make sure that we're going to be turning people away. So we don't want to have empty seats because somebody took a ticket and didn't show up. So if you pick up a ticket and pick up a ticket for your friend, make sure you guys show up to this event. It is going to be out. I met with the chef this week. We have one of the most world-class chefs from the North County. I'm telling you, every plate is going to look like a work of art. It is going to be absolutely amazing. So you guys are going to be so blessed. I wish I was a woman sometimes to be able to go to this event. Because it's going to be incredible. And men, we need volunteers. We need waiters. We need servers. So we need about 18 men to volunteer. So men, please sign up also. If you'd like to volunteer and serve the women, if you're a single man, like Richard, you may. I'd like some of the teenagers involved. Who knows? You could be serving your future wife at this event. But anyways, we've got a lot going on today. I'd like to introduce to you her first time in America. She's been here for a couple weeks. We all know her and love her and have supported her for many years in South Africa with the wonderful work they've been doing in South Africa. But she's never had a chance to visit the United States, and she is here for the very first time, and we get to introduce her this morning to a woman, the Monte Cristo Ministries, that you have supported for many, many years. I'd like to introduce you to the leader of that great ministry in South Africa, Blom. Where is Blom? She's in the what? What is that meaning? Well, tell her she missed her chance. We'll get her in the next service. Sorry, guys. Well, I guess we didn't communicate to her clearly. That's our fault. Anyways, as we move into the time to receive tithes and offerings, just to let you know, we finally have all of the online technology set up in place to make your life easier. We know there's a lot of generous people in this church who like to worship God with their tithes and offerings, and we want to make it easier for you. So you can now give online at your home computer. You can keep track of your giving. You can print charitable statements right off your computer. You can give off of your cell phone now. There's a mobile giving option on our church website for you to give right off your phone. You can give writing an electronic check from your computer or using a debit card, or if you decide to use credit card, make sure you're able to pay it off at the end of the month, because we don't want anyone going into debt over tithes and offerings. That is not the purpose of it. I want you to watch a funny video that I ran across this week that I thought explained tithes and offerings better than anything. Watch this video with me.
Come on. Hurry up. Oh, who's speaking today?
Senior pastor.
Oh.
It's 1:30.
I'll meet you in the sanctuary. I gotta go.
Boys, you have fun in class, and here's some craft money.
We take credit cards.
You do? Great.
I'm going to need to see some ID.
Good morning. Bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I showed that. It was just funny. I watched it this week. How many would love a church that didn't tithe? But I don't think I would want to go to that church. Anyways, tithing is an important part of time of worship. And like I said last week, I don't want anyone to give out of compulsion or give because you feel manipulated. Give because you have a cheerful heart. That's what we're going to be talking about today as we get into the Blessed Life series. We're going to be talking about a generous heart and a cheerful heart. So if you'd like to be a part of Tithes and Offerings today, we welcome you to be a part of it. If you have a check, make it out to Coastline Church, or you can use your mobile phone or giving options, whatever you'd like to use to give today to make it easy and simpler on you. Bless you. Thank you for your gift.
Peace, for He's alive.
life, his salvation brings an everlasting life to all who believe. And I know you'll never go far from where I am. And I will praise no other name but Jesus, Lion and Lamb. Whoa, oh, oh. And I know I'll never go far from where I am. And I will praise no other name but Jesus, Lion and Lamb. And I know you'll never go.
Beginning the series The Blessed Life today, and you have to forgive me, church, for flying through all of the announcements and getting through everything as quick as possible, because the end of the service is, I just can't wait for the, I wish the end of the service was just right now, because I'm really excited about what we have planned for our Founders Day ceremony. And at the end of the service, we're also going to be receiving a very generous love offering for our founder to bless them in their future with where God is taking them. And I'm excited. So I just want to fly through it as quick as possible so we can just get right to the end, because that's what I'm looking forward to. But I've got to set up kind of the foundation of the message. So you're going to have to listen fast with me as we move through this morning, because we're starting a four-week series on the blessed life. And today is the foundational message of how you live the blessed life. If you don't get this message, the rest of the series really doesn't make sense fully. So you've got to understand this. How many of you will say with me this morning that you feel like your life is blessed, that you feel like God has blessed your life? Now, how many of you would be honest with me and you would say, I would like to be even more blessed? You know, God has blessed me, but I need more blessing in my life. There are things that I need. I need more blessing, and I'm looking for God to bless me beyond where he's blessed me today, beyond where I'm at right now. Well, if you need more blessing in your life, one of the wonderful things is Jesus gives you a verse. Jesus gives you a scripture that describes how you can have the blessed life. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. And these are the words of Jesus. This is not Aaron Jane. This is what Jesus said. It says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed. How many want to be blessed? How many need more blessing? It is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you need to be more blessed today, it's easy, then just go out and give. Because if you will give, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, the challenge is so many people today think that is more, you are more blessed by getting more. That the more blessed you are, the more you have, the more you get. When the reality is, to really experience the blessed life, it's not about receiving, it's about giving. This week, I saw a war of generosity unfold right before my eyes. Last year at the conference in Palm Springs, we had a family, the Blunt family, and then my dear friend Simon from Sweden, who's in town with me this week. He'll be at the next service. And last year, the Blunt surprised us, and we were eating down, sitting at this nice restaurant in Palm Springs. They went to the waiter and said, "Give us their ticket. We're going to pay their meal." And then they left the restaurant where we couldn't even say thank you, and so they got us. We weren't able to pay. They paid our meal, and they were gone, so we couldn't do anything about it. Well, this year, we walked into the same restaurant for lunch, and there the Blunt family is, all of them, the grandkids, the family. And my buddy Simon says, "This is my chance to get them back with generosity." And so he goes to the waiter. He says, "Let me have their ticket. I'm going to pay their meal before they leave." And so Simon pays their ticket. Well, what we didn't know is when Simon was paying their ticket, Pastor Blunt was over at the other waiter saying, "When they sit down and order, bring their ticket to me." And so I'm watching a war of generosity unfold right before my eyes from people who just love to give because they realize it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you see, as followers of Christ, if we can internalize this truth, it is unquestionably life-changing that you realize it is more blessed. Everyone say more blessed. Say more blessed. It is more blessed to do what? To give than it is to receive. And the key thought for this message, if you're taking notes, is that you need to understand this biblical truth. The key to the blessed life, the series we're talking about the next 4 weeks, the blessed life, the foundation of this series is a heart of generosity. It is a heart of generosity. I don't believe in the prosperity doctrine. I'm not trying to get you to get a revelation of getting or a revelation of receiving. I'm trying to get you to understand a revelation of giving, which is the foundation of the Christian life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." See, if you want to be more blessed, you will be more blessed when you become more generous. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 say it like this. "There is somebody who scatters," or who gives, "and yet increases more." Now, how many understand that is completely against logic? Logic tells me that if I give away what I have, then I'm going to have less. Yes or no? That's what logic says. If I give away what I have, then I'm going to have less. But the Bible says there is one who scatters or who gives and yet increases more. And then there is someone who withholds more than what is right, and it leads that person to poverty. This doesn't make any logical sense at all. I mean, understand, this is not, you know, what we've been taught in America in business. If you give away what you have, you're going to have less. And if you hold on to what you have, you save what you have, you grasp what you have, that's when you have. And the Bible is saying the exact opposite. The Bible is saying there's somebody who gives away freely what he has, and yet he has more. And then there is somebody who withholds everything he has and doesn't let go of what he has. And those possessions, he has such a tight grip on them that it leads him to poverty. And then in verse 25, the Bible tells us what kind of person prospers. Verse 25, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself," or "he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." So scripture says, what kind of man will prosper? A generous soul will prosper. A generous soul will prosper. The key to the blessed life is to be a generous soul. "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." One man gives freely and he gains more. And that is the key to the blessed life, is to have a generous heart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read some verses here, beginning in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 6 with me. "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully or generously will also reap bountifully or generously." You talk to any farmer out there, and the farmer will tell you the exact same thing. If you put one seed into the ground, what are you going to get? One tree. You put a few seeds into the ground, you get a few trees. But if you sow a lot of seeds into the ground, you get a lot of harvest back. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully or generously will also reap generously. Then he goes on in verse 7. Look at this. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, God's not asking you to give grudgingly. God's not asking you to do it under compulsion or under manipulation. That is not why we give. We don't give under manipulation. God loves a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful, if you study it in the Greek, is the word hilaros, which is the root word for hilarious. God is saying, I want a hilarious giver. I'm so excited I get to give. I'm so excited I can go bless somebody. See, God wants somebody that is hilarious about their giving. And I love the Old Testament. You know what they used to do in the Old Testament? They used to throw parties when they gave. Somebody would do a big gift, whether it was for a friend or a family member, or the temple or the house of God, and they would throw a big party to celebrate that they got to give. It wasn't celebrating to brag. It wasn't celebrating out of pride. They were celebrating to God that God enabled them. God gave them power to be a blessing to somebody else. And so they would celebrate that. And the Bible says, I love a cheerful giver. See, you want to see the blessed life? Well, when you are generous, here are the blessings that are promised to you. Look at verse 8 now. And God is able to make all grace abound around you or toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, that's the promise. God is saying that when you become generous, when you become a giver in life, and you live a generous lifestyle, that you will always, having all sufficiency in all things, will have an abundance in every good work. And then look at this, verse 11. I love this. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Scripture says you are enriched in everything, that everything. And now understand, this is not talking just about money. It's not just about finances. If you limit the blessing of God to money, you're missing it. See, so many people, they limit the blessing of God to materialism. They limit the blessing of God to material things. But he is saying you will be enriched in everything, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, in your health. You are enriched. The blessed life is so much more than just getting money. You've got to catch that, people. It's not just about material things. It's not just about getting money. It's about so much more. It's about being enriched in everything, blessed in every way. See, the purpose is not to be blessed so that you can enjoy life just for yourself, but instead, the Bible says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, people will give thanksgiving to God, is what verse 11 says. Because of your generosity, you are going to cause people to give thanksgiving to God. I want you to imagine, you become so generous, you become so consumed with being a blessing to others, giving to other people's lives, because you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Imagine if you have this heart of generosity and people all over the world begin to thank God for your generosity. That's why I'm so proud of this church. Because we have hundreds of boys and girls now around the world that are going to be thanking God this Christmas because of the generosity of this church. We have women that are going to be coming on December 7th, and they're going to thank God for the blessing of that Christmas event because of the generosity of people who decided to sponsor tables. We have people who are going to be blessed with Christmas trees, families in need, because of people who are generous enough to do a Christmas tree lot and give a tree for every tree that is sold. See, I love this church because we are creating people to be thankful to God because of the generosity of this church. Now, with that being said, here's the question I want to ask you to think about. Knowing that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, then why are there not more generous people in the world? Or let me say it like this. Why are there not more blessed people in the world? Because it's blessed to give and not receive. Well, this is why. There's three things I want to talk about today if you're taking notes. Many people in the world today have what I call a bag mindset. They have a bag mentality, a bag mindset. Well, what in the world is a bag mindset? Well, I want to talk about three different mindsets or three different mentalities this morning. Number one is the bag mindset. And sadly, this is where most people in the world live today. Write this down, bag mindset. These are people that believe we don't have enough. We got nothing extra. We don't have, we simply would like to give, but we can't give because we don't have enough in our bag to be able to give. We barely have enough to cover our needs. We barely have enough to take care of our family and take care of ourselves, that we just don't have anything extra to be generous with. And maybe sadly, some of you can relate to the words in the Old Testament in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6. How many of you have ever felt like Haggai 1 and verse 6 or know someone who's living Haggai 1 verse 6? You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. We're talking about a bag mindset today. You keep earning, you keep working, but it seems like everything you're working for and everything you're earning is going into a bag with holes, and you can't, no matter what you do, seem to get ahead. You try to hold on, you try to save, you try to just, and everything, it seems like one thing after the transmission breaks down, then the dishwasher breaks down, and you just can't get ahead, and you're trying so hard to hold on to what you have, and you simply can't get a break. It's a bag mentality. You'd like to be generous. I mean, you want to be generous, but you don't feel like you can be generous because everything keeps falling out of your bag. And there are a lot of people that are raised this way. They've got this bag mentality. They can't let go of anything. I remember a couple weeks ago when my wife and I announced that we were giving a love offering to the church. We gave, you know, and I'll just be honest. I mean, I'm not doing it to brag, but I'm just really just doing it so you knew where our heart was. You know, we gave $5,000 love offering. And that was a big deal for us because that was exactly half of our savings account. That was half of our savings account when we gave it. And that was really, you know, everything we had. And then as soon as God spoke to me to give that, a week later, we got an unexpected medical bill for $5,000. Which meant if we gave the offering, that was going to leave us with $0 in our savings account. And it was a challenge, and I felt like God was saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to live with the bag mentality? Are you going to be afraid because of this medical bill and withhold what I asked you to give because you've got this? And so my wife and I made a decision. We took the money out of savings. We wrote a check, put it in our wallet, and we just held on to it, and we purposed we're going to give that gift no matter what. Well, the last week I was at my old church in Los Angeles. Before I moved to San Diego, my pastor called me up on stage and completely unexpectedly surprised us and gave us a $4,000 check to bless us in our new journey. Then someone else walked up and gave me a $1,000 check. So even before I gave the gift, God gave everything back. Once I purposed in my heart that I was going to give, that I wasn't going to live with the bag mentality in my life. People say, well, there's not enough in the bag. I'd like to be more generous, but there's just simply not enough in the bag. What's interesting is when you look at Scripture, there's a guy in the New Testament, and this was really all that he was into was the bag, and his name was Judas. Judas had a bag mentality. He was the one that carried around the money bag for Jesus, and if there was anybody interested in getting the stuff that was in the bag, it was Jesus. There was a story where a woman broke a bottle of perfume that costs a year's wage. Well, in this area, can you imagine a bottle of perfume being $100,000? And this woman breaks this bottle to wash one person's feet with it. And Judas is all upset saying, we could give money to the poor. Well, really, he wanted the money in the bag so that because he was stealing out of the bag. He had this bag mentality. Judas eventually did what most people are doing today. He betrayed Jesus because of his bag mindset. Judas betrayed Jesus for a bag with 30 pieces of silver. And don't be so shocked, because this is the same thing people are doing today. People don't give today, and Scripture says the tithe belongs to God. Returning the tithe, our first 10%. And people don't do that today because they are more concerned about what's in the bag than they are with obeying and honoring God. I would love to give, but the bag has holes in it. So you don't understand, Pastor. We've got Christmas coming up, families coming in town, the economy is tight. We just can't be generous right now. I'm worried about my job. I would love to, but I just don't feel, we got kids in college. And there's so many people around us that are living with a bag mindset. Number two, the first mentality, the first mindset is the bag mindset. The second one is the basket mindset. And this one is exciting. Everyone say basket mindset. Basket mindset. This is the exciting mentality to live. This is the person who believes that God is an abundant God and we can trust God. We have got more than enough because God is abundant and God, and so we can now freely give because we have a basket mentality. We don't live under the bag mentality. We don't have the bag mindset. We have a basket mindset. Let's look at this in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." In the New Testament, Jesus tells a story about the basket mentality, and he says it like this in Luke 6 and verse 38. He says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." See, Jesus was talking about a basket. Because in that day, Jesus was teaching this to a group of people that understood farming, they understood agriculture, and what would take place is there were two types of people in the fields that used baskets. They were the day laborers. You paid them for a day, and they would fill up the basket with grain, and they would walk across the field, and the day laborers never filled the basket all the way up. Why? Because it would be too heavy to carry, and they were lazy, and they just wanted to do just enough to get by. And so they'd fill it up three quarters. They wouldn't shake it down. They wouldn't press it together. Why? Because it was lighter that way. But then there was the poor people that out of the master's generosity were able to take grain. And what the poor people would do is they would get their basket of grain. They would shake it so that you would get all the air out of it. They would press it down. Then they would put more in it. They would shake it. They would press it down. And they would get so much grain that as they walked home, it would just be pouring out everywhere because they filled it to the brim. Well, God is saying, give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your bosom? And it's not just talking about money. We know that. It's talking about all aspects of life, but money certainly is one of them. Their baskets would run over. That is the kind of God that God is. See, God is really good. God is a God of abundance. I remember a story of a little boy in the New Testament that had a basket mentality. Jesus was teaching one day, and Jesus got a little long-winded and went beyond the lunch hour, and people started getting hungry, and there was no food to be sight, and this little kid had a Happy Meal, just a little basket of five loaves and a couple fish. That's all he had. Now, if he had the bag mentality, he would have never let it go. But he had the basket mentality, so he gave it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it, fed everyone, and at the end of it, the powerful part of the story is when they picked up the fragments, the boy gave one basket, but he went home with 12 baskets full. See, that's the way Jesus operates. Jesus wants us to get to a basket mentality where we become faithful, where we give freely, where we live a generous life, because give and it'll be given to you. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. A friend of mine has a little girl. She's 11 years old, and she came home the other day, and she says, "Dad, I need $40. I have $20 for my birthday. I need another $20. And so the dad gave her different chores to do. "Do this, I'll give you a dollar. Do this, I'll give you 50 cents. And for about 2 weeks, this little girl worked her heart out around the house to earn another $20. She went into her dad. She had a whole handful of ones and coins and 50-cent pieces, and she threw it down on the table and says, "Dad, here's my $40. And he said, "Well, what would you like to do with it?" She goes, "I want to buy Bibles for kids in China. I can buy 20 Bibles with this $40, and that's what I want to do." See, that's a little girl that has a basket mentality. That's a little girl that understands she has more than enough, and what she wanted to do was something for somebody else that was in need. See, that's my heart, is that you move from a bag mentality to a basket mentality. And the number three, what's the last mindset of a generous heart? The third type is what we call a barn mindset. And see, that's the real goal that I would love you to get to. I want you to move beyond basket. See, basket is where you can bless the people around you, but I'd love you to get to a barn mentality, a barn mindset, where you can bless multitudes of people. Look at it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8, learning that God is infinitely more than enough. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, or other translations say barns, and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which is the Lord your God is giving you. See, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns. Imagine this. Imagine you're faithful with what you have in the bag, and then all of a sudden it turns into a basket, and you're faithful with what you have in the basket, and then one day God gives you barns that are overflowing. See, Joseph was faithful when he was thrown into a pit. Joseph was faithful when he was thrown into a prison, and before he knew it, Joseph oversaw barns that fed all of Egypt. God blessed him so abundantly that all the people were blessed because of Joseph's faithfulness. See, some of you, you're going to go way beyond just being a tither. You're going to become a twither. And I'm not talking about Twilight fans. I'm talking about twithers. What is a twither? Twither is someone that gives 20% of their income. They decide, "I don't want to just give 10% to the work of God. I want to give 20% to the work of God." I have a friend that tried to do this. He wanted to see if he could outgive God. He wanted to challenge God and see what could happen. And so he started giving 10%, then he started giving 20%. Today, he is giving 80% to the work of God out of everything he earns, and he's living off of 20%. And let me tell you, the 20% he's living off of today is far more than the 100% he was living off of 10 years ago. God has blessed him so abundantly. But why? Because he has a barn mentality. He has a mentality that God is able. God is able. We can trust God. See, here's the deal. God wants to know how much he can bless you with. God is looking for generous people. He's looking for people that are going to lose the bag mindset and turn it into a basket and eventually turn it into a barn that is overflowing and blessing everyone around. See, look at Luke 16, verse 10. This is the way Jesus said it. He who is faithful in what is least, what's in the bag, is faithful also in what is much, what's in the barn. And he who is unjust in the least, what's in the bag, will also be unjust in the much, what's in the barn. See, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, Jesus says, how are we going to trust you with true riches? How are we going to trust you with the blessed life if you can't even be trusted with a tithe? Proverbs 3, 9, verse 10 says it like this. God is actually watching and testing us. Verse 9, Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. For us, that's the first tenth, the tithe that we return back to God, of all your increase. So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, the beauty of the tithe is that it teaches us to trust God. It teaches us that God can do more with 90% that is blessed than 100% that's not blessed. And when we return the tithe back unto God, he blesses us. And when we don't tithe, the Bible says our finances come under a curse. See, this is not my opinion. See, if you want a church that doesn't preach the Bible, there's plenty of them. But the reality is, this is the Word of God. And I, as a pastor, have a faithful duty to preach the Word of God. Not simply for me, not simply for the church. See, we're talking about the blessed life. We're not just talking about what you give the church. My purpose, my passion as a pastor, is I would love to see everyone in our church leaving an inheritance to their grandchildren. Because the Bible says a godly man will leave an inheritance to his children and his children's children. If you're not in a position to leave an inheritance to your grandchildren, then I as a pastor am failing you, and I'm not challenging you to live a blessed life, because it's not just about the blessing you give the church. See, that's where the prosperity doctrine goes wrong, is the prosperity doctrine says it's only about what the church needs and what the church wants. No, it's also about your inheritance. It's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. See, I'm just trying to get you in a position of blessing where God can give you more than enough so it doesn't just spill out on the church, but it spills out on your family and your grandchildren and your neighbors and people all around the world. See, I can only imagine God saying, I'd like to give you barn blessings, but you've got to break the grip of materialism in your life. We've got to come to the end quickly. Let me read you this last story about somebody that had barn blessings but lived with the bag mindset. Luke 12:16-21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He was blessed. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no more room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build bigger barns. And there I will store all of my crops and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" See, that is where so many of us are today. We think everything in the barn is for us. We should just enjoy it. We should just have all of these nice blessings, have bigger houses and bigger cars and nicer clothes and bigger boats, and it's all for us, right? That's not the truth. And then Jesus steps in, and this guy, you know, he goes on to say, "I'm going to tear my barns down." Some of you are saying, "Well, I don't have a barn." Believe me, you have a barn. Most of you have barns for your cars. See, don't tell me you don't have a barn. I've been to the third world. I've been to Africa. Blom will tell you what it's like in South Africa. In America, it doesn't matter how poor you are. You're living in a barn in America compared to the way the rest of the world is living. So we do have more than we think. And then in verse 20, Jesus says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus basically said, listen, you stored up all this stuff for you, but it wasn't for you. It was for the kingdom. See, Jesus wasn't mad at the man for being blessed. Don't misunderstand this. See, a lot of us think that Jesus gets mad when we're blessed. Jesus was never mad about him being blessed. Jesus was mad because he didn't understand what the blessing was for. See, I want people to be blessed, but you've got to understand what the blessed life is all about. The blessed life, it is more blessed, Jesus said, to give than it is to receive. So as God blesses us, it's not simply so you can enjoy life like the rich man here in Luke. The blessing is so that you can give more than you've ever given. You can be more generous than you've ever been generous. You can do more for the kingdom of God. Next year, I'd like this stack of boxes to be 3 times as high. Why? Because we get ourselves into a culture of generosity, understanding that we have all that we'll ever need. We've got plenty in our own barns. Let's use what we have to begin to give to others and sow into others and be a blessing to others, so that people all over the world will begin to give thanksgiving to God because of our generosity. The blessed life, the foundation of the blessed life, is a heart of generosity. Generous in giving, generous in deed, generous in word, generous in encouragement. And